הכל מעט. Attempted identify to attend to today and tomorrow. Among others, matters relating to the investigation on the strategic stock, the nuclear bill program, and the demonstrate to know where things are. We know that the power purchase agreement with regard to the IPPs has been signed to ESCOM. They have long been abstaining. Wanted to receive feedback as to where that process is now. And we remember that there were quite difficult issues with regard to the signing of those agreements. including those who were opposed to the signing of the agreements and what they thought were going to be the consequences of signing the agreement. Now we needed to have some discussion about where the project is, including how we deal with the fears of those who were opposed to the signing of the agreement. Now, the RP, I know that somebody wrote me a difficult letter, I can't remember from where. Ordering me to order the department to come and explain what is the process of the RP. So that too we were supposed to discuss today and tomorrow. And in that context we have been clarified as to where the process of the IET itself is. So the outstanding issues with regard to the holding company, the Central Energy Fund, we wanted to have a discussion, including the big issue that long outstanding with regard to Petro's AC. Now those are the things that are quite key to the committee and to those who are interested in what is happening in the industry. Now, I just want to add something that was not there, but I think we members of the committee got to deal with. The last time ESCOM was here, we did say that we're not so much involved with the operational and governance issues, but we're interested in the role with regard to the supply of electricity to ensure that the security of supply. I'm made to understand that there may be difficulties on that front, and that we should discuss it. I don't want to speculate at this point, but I'm quite concerned by what I hear, that we need to have a discussion with ESCOM with regard to their plans, especially as we approach the winter period. So hopefully when we have dealt with those issues that we have identified, we'll be able to see ESCOM as well quite soon to have a discussion with regard to their plan. The honourable members would recall that when the acting chief executive was here, they did say that there are serious issues that are confronting ESCO, that they are tending to the governance and the executive management, and also the financial position of ESCO. As I suspected, Honorable Davis, subsequent to that, I saw the headlines about your 30% increase that ESCOM is asking for. So we need to have a discussion with them quite soon. Because our primary concern is that there shouldn't be interruptions with regard to the supply of power. And you would recall that they told us some time ago consistently that we have excess power now and that we are struggling to sell this power. Now, I don't know if that is still the position. So we need to have a discussion with them quite soon with regard to that.
Okay.
So the point I'm trying to make on our members is that was our plan, and I personally was looking forward to this week to have a discussion on those issues to understand where we are. Sometime last week, we were informed that the Minister of Energy, who we've been waiting for since his appointment to come to the committee, is not available. After the last meeting we had, I was quite sympathetic to the excuses we received with regard to his non-attendance. I don't think I'm that sympathetic to this. But the reason is the following. We received a letter that says that the cabinet committees are meeting in Pretoria instead of Cape Town today. And apparently there's a cabinet meeting tomorrow. I don't know where that is taking place. There's a cabinet meeting tomorrow which he'll be attending. So as a result, they can't deal with the five key issues that they identified for today and tomorrow. As a result, we had to bring forward the item. This item we're dealing with now, we're supposed to deal with on Thursday, according to our earlier plan. So we had to bring it forward because we didn't want Mr. Zulu to come here and tell us about the future of nuclear. And then next time the minister says something, we want him to come and tell us what he thinks of all those outstanding what he said identified as strategic issues in the sector. So that's the reason we're dealing with this matter here. Yeah, I thought I should start there on our members to explain why our plan for the week has changed, and hopefully we'll accept that. The key question is, when can we have him here? So I've been talking to the department to ascertain when can that happen, because the next time we have this health committee, we want to have him present so that he can discuss all those issues. So we don't want to agree on a date now and then have to give an excuse next time we've got health committee. But that's where we are. So I'm hopeful that during the course of the meeting we'll be able to agree here. Members of the committee should be saying to those items for the minister to come to the committee. But at this point, I do suggest that we follow the agenda as we have it. And if your agreement, we'll ask what are you called? Oh yeah, he calls himself Stand In Secret. I'm told Ariko is sick. hopefully be back in the street. So, Honorable Davis, I can see your hand, and after saying whatever you say, can you please allow us to proceed with the agenda and a few apologies for this point.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you for your words, especially about the Minister. We share your concerns. We do understand that the Minister does have other engagements, but of course it puts you and the committee in a very difficult position because we plan our agenda for the week and we do a lot of work in preparation. And you know, we were supposed to have 3 days with the Minister to hear his vision for the department, and we're not going to get an opportunity to do that. And I think it puts the officials in a very difficult position as well. Because, you know, this budget that we're going to be discussing and this APP, we're not sure if it's the Minister's budget and the Minister's APP and to what extent he is aligned to what's in it. And in a few weeks' time, we're going to be having our budget debate. And we really need to meet with the Minister before that so that we can get a real sense of what where he plans to take the department. So I'd just like to concur with everything that you say and to thank you for saying it on the record. And I think that between us, we will be able to hopefully get a date for the Minister to come before we have the budget vote, which is in a few weeks' time. Thank you.
On that note, I hope we can proceed. I did hear that the budget vote will start on the 9th. And I'm saying they'll start on the 9th. I hear that there's a tentative date for the budget vote, so the 16th, correct?
To my knowledge, I think the budget was approved from the council.
So, it's an important process. Between now and the budget vote, for us to have a meaningful debate on the 16th, certain things should have happened before then, including clarity on where we're going with new tier and the rest of the other things that we've spoken about. So that we can have a better report and can have meaningful debate on the for the budget vote. So we'll have to, I can't say at this stage, but we'll have to work that out to make sure that we can have those substantive discussions before the budget vote debate happens in the presence of the minister. So we'll have to work that out, and perhaps later on the minister can give an indication, because I did express this to him, that we need to be clear when exactly we can schedule these attempts and make sure that the minister will be present to deal with this matter before the 16th. So with that, can we please proceed? So before we close the meeting, I'll turn to the committee to make a can we have an apology?
Good morning, members, colleagues and guests. Just a formal apologies. As indicated by the Secretary, the Minister is not with us today at any Cabinet Committee meeting. The Deputy Minister is also not present today due to illness. And Honorable Muyana, who will join us later.
So, Honorable Muyana is coming. Gigi, can you finish that in the presentation? I should just, before you start, I should just warn you that during your absence, we had a discussion here. I can't remember who, the honorable member was not here, had raised a matter about the settlement of the DG. In fact, he called it the lawfulness of the settlement of the DG. So I remember at some point we were seeking legal opinion with regard to how lawful the settlement was. Now that we are here, so the section on the legal opinion will cease. So let's continue. You are here now, so we will not call that the issue of the settlement of the decision. So welcome back. So I hope that matter will not re-arise. So you can start with the presentation. Just do the usual things and introduce the members of the team again.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, gentlemen, honorable members of the committee, members of the public community and present, and senior officials of government and the Department of Energy. Thank you for your opening remarks, Honorable Chairperson. I concur with the request that you have made, and I will be attending to the issues that you have raised. We are here as invited by the Protocol Committee on Energy to reflect on our children and in particular our APP and budget vote, as we have made an indication in the chairperson that the budget vote will be made. We thank you for inviting us, and we also express the apology for the we have the team with us, Chair. We hope that it will be a short presentation, and it is quite perfect and straight to the point. We don't want to dwell much on the history and the background of the department. I think we have dealt with that quite effectively. We will be focusing mainly on our armor performance plan. And also focus on the performance indicators, ammo and quality targets, the EAT program within the UOE, and most importantly, honorable chairperson, as we have indicated, we must focus on our budget goals for 2018-2019. I'm with the team, and the chair will indicate that we have our two committees, Makumela and Data, and our chief director of finance, who will take us for the finance section on the economy, as well as we are part of the team that we have been working to get the presentation together, and other officials from Hamburg as well for the program today. Chair, we would like to start by indicating on our structure, which we have received from 2011, and indicate some of the key category of our structure that you can see with our different approach. And I want to indicate that we have started with the process of the international human group and so we still have a lot of organization structures. I hope looking at the same structure whereby we still have greater systems and current going away. We have started the process of putting the effects of the existing together. Well, the chair, can I confirm that the
we've got a different document.
Oh yeah. the DG, that's called slide, not page.
Apparently there's two slide now. Program 2,
committee at the conversation of the camp in construction of the fair during the year of review. And the department has decided to start developing a regional camp master plan. This is one of the initiatives which was agreed to at the Planning Conference in Portland last year. That the Caribbean Development Agency will meet the region in developing their regional camp master plan. Next, I guess there will be development regulation to support the implementation of the Camp Amendment Bill or Camp Amendment Act. And we'll also, during the year of review, finalize a proposal on new refinery capacity or the implementation framework there. We'll be waiting on development proposal and finalizing it during this financial year on the implementation of Central 2, which is overdue, but it's something that we can achieve for this current financial year. And we also plan to start with a pilot on the implementation of the biofuel program. We started working on proposals for an end stage of electricity sector. This is one of the issues that was raised by the Portfolio Committee, and the Central Storage Department is working also on finalizing a proposal on the end stage of electricity sector. The proposal on the amendment to the National Energy Act, including comments to the later cabinet on the deal with the cabinet will be finalized during this session for resubmission to cabinet. We also working on finalizing a framework on the rollout of the Farm Asset Management Program. And also as part of the implementation of the grant agreement, we are also looking at finalizing a intercommunal agreement for transition line with the transit countries, along the route that is planned for transmitting their power. Program 3, which is the petroleum product petroleum regulation branch, deals basically with compliance, program compliance, monitoring enforcement, licensing, and fuel supply and fuel pricing, and also just having regional offices around the country to ensure access. Some of the key objectives of containing the international framework are those that are in the that might program the future of sector transmission, promote licensing and compliance enforcement. During the year 2018-19, we'll be looking at conducting 1,500 test compliance inspections, and also conducting 1,080 fuel samples at different retail sites. The department also will be looking at finalizing the publication of the audit with regard to a transformation of the petroleum retail sector. And also will be looking at finalizing the petroleum industry of that code. One of the key things that we are responsible for is to ensure that all applications that we receive have at least 50% HGSA components before they are, 50% of those applications that we approve have 50% HGSA components. Program 4, which deals with the certification program and program management. That program basically deals with all key areas within the certification program. Many of the regional offices, and we also responsible for the program and project management office of the department, and also looking at electric infrastructure and the transportation of the sector. With regard to the target for 18-19 one-year program, Chair, they will expect to have 4 reports on additional households electrified with grid towards the annual target of 200,000 households for the year, and will also produce 4 reports on the upgrading of electricity infrastructure as contracted with ESCOM and the federal municipalities. We also will be looking at producing 4 quarterly reports with regard to the households which are electrified using non-grid. The target for 2019 for 920,000 households. And also will be producing quarterly reports on the monitoring of the rural communities which we are using the federal government. Program 5, which is the UK Energy Program. That program deals with issues related to nuclear safety and technology, nuclear proliferation and radiation security, and the development of nuclear policy. With regard to targets for 18-19 financial year, nuclear program will be looking at ensuring that 70% of all authorization applications are processed within the 8-10 period as legislated. And the department is currently developing a decommission and contamination policy, national policy set, and we'll be looking at finalizing the National Nuclear Regulation Act amendment bill for submission to cabinet in the current year. And also we finalized in the drug radioactive waste management fund bill that will then be sent to the Chippewa Tribe for participation. This fund bill is really critical for the operationalization of the National Radioactive Waste Disposal Institute and ensuring that we have processes in place to effectively manage any radioactive waste in the country. Program 6, which is basically a clean energy branch. With regard to this branch, basically it deals with energy efficient initiatives from the government. It looks at renewable energy projects and also is responsible for climate change response and environmental compliance and the international authority. This branch also is responsible for negotiating some of the agreements contained in the UNF proposal. Some of the key targets which we highlighted for 2019, including ensure that energy savings are realized, are verified, from one EDF project towards the target of 0.5 terawatt hours, and we'll be finalizing the post-2015 national electrification strategy for promulgation. The draft renewable energy technology roadmap will be completed during the year under review, and also ensuring that the solar energy program implementation is monitored. The branch will also finalize a annual compliance report which we issue for every financial year for the said environmental management plan. We will also be looking at ensuring that a system is developed and implemented for carbon offset registration for carbon offset and credit. Thank you, sir. If
Is that all? So we can go home now. On our other message we can go.
Quite a few questions. They might be a little bit all over the place because I just took notes as I went along, so they might not all link up with each other. But thank you for the presentation. I'd like to start off with on page 5. Some of your numbers, some of the pages also are a bit messed up, so it's difficult to follow, but hopefully we'll get there. On page 5 of the presentation, it mentions Vision 2025. To improve the energy mix by having 50% of clean energy by 2025, that's 7 years away. Given that this is such a high priority, it seems strange to me that only 5% of the total budget is allocated to clean energy. Do you think that enough has been budgeted towards clean energy to achieve that target of 50% by 2025? And what's even more concerning is that the clean energy budget has decreased from 742 million to 370 million. So I think that's, if my math is correct, I think that's nearly precisely half. I think it is half. So how do you expect to achieve the target of 30% if you are cutting the budget? My second question on that is my favorite perennial question, which the chair doesn't like me to ask, but I have to ask it anyway. When we're talking about the energy mix, we're obviously talking about the RRP. We heard in recent portfolio committee meetings that Cabinet is going back to the drawing board on the RRP, as we understand it, although we do get mixed messages. Can you update us on where we are with the RRP, what the process is, and when we can expect to have the new integrated resource plan in place? If you remember, the previous minister, not the previous minister, the one before that, it's hard to keep track, but Minister Kubayi, she promised by the end of February. Minister Mashlobo said, no, we'll have it done by Christmas. We still don't have it. Even though Minister Mashlobo tried to fast track it and he had you guys working on weekends until midnight, we still don't have the RRP. So can you give us a sense of where we are in the process and when we can expect the new RRP? On page 7, you mentioned the vacancies, and there's vacancies in the following branches: energy programs and projects, clean energy, corporate services, and governance and compliance. Am I correct in assuming that those vacancies refer to DDG positions? Is that right? Okay. So 4 out of the 8 branches are missing a DDG. Can you tell us why that is? Why is there such a high turnover of senior staff in the Department of Energy? What is the root cause of that problem? Because I think we need to get to the root cause of that problem so that we can solve it and prevent it from happening going forward. And what is the progress so far in filling those very important vacancies? Then just also on the vacancies in the post on page 8, you note that 225 out of 846 posts are unfunded. That's 26% of the posts are unfunded, a quarter of the posts. I'm not sure if I understand what it means, to be honest with you, and I'm just leveling with you. What does it mean if a post is unfunded? Does it mean that there is somebody in that post but the money's not there? Or what does an unfunded post mean, and where does the money come from if the post is unfunded? And this is just important for us to get clarity on before we go into the budget first. Then it says that 122 out of 621 of the funded posts are vacant. So that's 20% of the funded posts are vacant, which is very, very high. Can you tell us why one-fifth of all the funded posts are vacant? Some quick questions of clarity. The national, when page 19, it talks about the National Nuclear Regulatory Amendment Bill. Can you tell us what this bill aims to achieve exactly? I haven't seen this before, so if you can just give us in a nutshell what the objective of that bill is. Overall, the budget allocation, as was just noted, is a reduction of 1.1 billion rand, which I think is concerning for the department and for everybody interested in the energy sector. But what's quite difficult to understand is why the budget is reduced by 1.1 billion, but the money being spent on employees is increasing by 28 million. Surely we should be spending less on, if the budget is being pulled back, then surely the amount spent on employees should also be pulled back in line with the budgetary priorities of the department. Or are we just simply growing the human resources without growing the output of the department? Because that would become a problem in time. If this carried on over the next 5 years, you're going to end up with a bloated department which is achieving less and less. So I'd like to know what trajectory you are on in this regard and how you can justify cutting the budget being cut but spending more on employees. Obviously we understand that there's inflation-linked increases. But it would seem strange to me that that's the one part of the budget that's growing. On nuclear, program 5, on page 538 of the budget vote itself, it says that one of the objectives of program 5, which is the nuclear program, is to coordinate all activities of the new nuclear build program. Now, the president of Davos has said we don't need nuclear, and he said that we can't afford nuclear, and we know that a new build program is not budgeted for in this budget cycle. So it's strange to me that one of the objectives is to coordinate all the activities of a new nuclear build program, which, as far as I'm aware, doesn't exist. Is there a new nuclear build program that we're not aware of? And if there isn't, why is it mentioned as one of the objectives in the budget vote? It's very, very confusing. You can imagine, as somebody who follows these things, to try and understand whether there is a new nuclear build program or not, because we get such mixed messages. So can you just confirm for us whether or not there is a new nuclear build program? Then also, I noticed that under the nuclear program, the budget for consultant services went up from 10.8 million in this financial year to 21.1 million in the next financial year. So in other words, you're going to be doubling the expenditure on nuclear consultants in the upcoming financial year. Why would you be doubling the expenditure on consultants if, as the president has said, we don't need nuclear and we can't afford it? Again, it's very curious to know why you'd be doubling the money on consultants for nuclear. Then my last question, Chair, is on the solar water heater program. We were very concerned last year in the adjustment process when I think around 17 million was shifted from the solar water heater program to other programs. And one of those environments was from the solar water heater program to pay out the former minister, Tina Zuma-Peterson. Looking very sceptical at me, but you can check in the adjusted expropriation. 2.1 million rand was actually taken from the solar water heater program and used to pay Tina Zuma-Peterson to give her a gratuity, what some people might call a golden handshake. So that was one element of concern last year. Now, I've looked in this budget under the solar water heater program, And you'll have to just tell me if I'm wrong here, but from what I can see, there were three, in this financial year, the one that we've just finished, 394 million was budgeted for the solar water heater project. But now there's for the upcoming financial year, there's just a dash. So, does that mean that no money is being budgeted for the solar water heater program? And this is a huge concern because I got a letter last week from a constituent who's in Atlantis. And he runs a company called iSolar. And they've grown in the last 5 years from 11 employees to 85 employees, all supporting dependents. So that's about 400 or 500 people who are reliant on this company. And their sole business is to provide solar water heaters as part of the DOE's program. Now, he wrote to me last week with some concern, because the way they work, as far as I understand, and you'll know a lot more than me, they wait for tranches of work from the department. So they get a signal from the department that a certain amount of money has been allocated, and then they can go on and then they can complete those projects. Now, he hasn't received any communication from the DOE for 6 months. And all of his letters and his correspondence has just met with radio silence. Zero correspondence. He says everybody has gone to ground at the DOE. I myself now have written to the ICP office to find out what is happening. I wrote last week, and I've got no response from them. Now, this is a huge concern because of all of these jobs that are on the line. Can you update us what is happening with this program, and why there's radio silence, and why this program is seems to be stalling, because so many jobs are on the line.
Any other questions?
What makes our life difficult, this issue, is that there is a budget expense of its funds. It's not about present issues, as you open and want to share, that before you condemn anything, you have to deal with the current issue. We know that it was a plan. We can't just keep planning and then life goes on. We've got pressing issues that we have not responded to. The DG at some stage went to SSF, I don't know, and they came back. We still got all those answers, so we don't even know whether, how to even engage this plan when we've got pressing issues separately. We don't know what is happening there, when are we going to report it, all those issues. So it makes it difficult. That's why it will be important that we have another agent meeting where ministers here take us through all the current problems and challenges that are happening within the department. We can see this plan, because if we're just going to go on and engage on this plan, chances are that we're going to sit in the next financial year with another plan and nothing happens. It's just planning for the sake of compliance with the budget vote, with this and this. And it can't. The reason for the department is to make sure that there's a recommendation that at the end of the day, it impacts to the growth of the economy of this kind. It's not just planning. Just keep planning and then seeing behind the scenes, you know that they just deteriorating every day and we just sit here and deal with them. That's why it's very difficult for us to go to and engage the issues of solar, all those things that we raised previously, and we don't know what is happening. I can't tell you whether even one that has been implemented, what is happening. So if we can start with the cleaning up of the department, especially on the key issues that we need to deal with, the transformation of the little fuel, what is happening in that state, what are the issues, we have said on these meetings today, can you give us what we have achieved? Where were we last year? What have we achieved now? So that at least we know that the plan that we have is on the basis of what we have achieved and how we have moved on what we are doing. But now the plan that we have is like the new department. So that nothing exists. Just a new plan now taken up to 2025. So while by 2025 is a very long time, wouldn't want to stress about our current immediate issues. But so I propose that maybe we need to have another meeting that really talk to the board that on what is currently happening, so that we can resolve those issues. Then we can be able to go there and support the plan if we have to, when support the budget that is going to be allocated to this department. At least we know what is happening, because now we are just going to go and debate on the issue of things, but what is currently happening on this issue. By the time we pass the budget, and then it's a different story, and it's a risk that we should not take. So that is a meeting, Chairperson, I'll propose that happens, the minister, the department, just to take to speak to us on the immediate issues that are affecting the department. Thank you.
Now, is there a...
Thank you, Jude. Okay, thank you. 8.1 billion rand, this is a lot of money, 8,000 million rand to increase the company that spends money and give bonuses and things that think there's no tomorrow. I'm very concerned in the financial side of who signs this for? Who signs this budget for every year without doing recommendations to the board? So we just face through the... every year we see millions spent on nuclear. Millions spent on nuclear. And I don't really know what happened to that money. What really happened to that money? Now they basically doubled that for the nuclear budget. What happened? We just saw now that nuclear for the medical field lost billions through incompetence, through mismanagement. We have the nuclear sector, but we spent every year billions. The renewable program. Okay. 85% of the budget wasn't spent. Why was that? Why is this? Is this because the renewable is a threat to Eskom's power or monopoly in this country? 85% of the budget was not even spent on renewable. I mean, 220 million, I think it was budgeted for renewable energy. A lot was signed off now. I really think Eskom, you know, instead of relying on the regulated clearing account to ensure its revenue flow, it is considered using its operating costs. I saw now on the financial on page 19, compensation for employees is up with another 28.62 million. Eskom was already completely overstaffed. Completely. Mr. Mabuza said now, the new CEO, that we only need 14,200, we've got 41,000 people at Eskom. Executive paid for the highest in Africa, most probably in the world. In 2009, Eskom produced about 7.26 gigawatt hour per person. This is down to 5.3 and it's basically dropping every day. But so we increase the staff compensation. I mean, where is this going to end? On the extra revenue that Eskom is applying for, slightly less, I think they're now 11.7 billion because of the difference between the utility revenue forecast and the time of the multi-year for the determination that they're applying for. Only 11.7 billion of that. 7.3 billion of the drug industry, the reduced sales of the customers. Customers paying the standard tariff. And every day, Eskom is putting their prices up to try and compensate the demand also dropped by about 10%. And that ends up only the taxpayer. We cannot, the IRP, we speak about administration. The industrial resource plan that was pushed through, I think it was mentioned here earlier. The public cannot comment on the final draft before or after adjustment. A number of the applications referred to in the section 7 of the Gazette draft from the IRP of 2016 was deleted. There's some of them missing as well. We the updated revised draft published on the website. There's some missing references on this. So the department wants to start with a selective IRP 2017. Selective. You want to start with a selective IRP. Jefferson, we cannot. And public publication for this was also, this happened all over, and I think over the holiday period. Nobody really could comment on this. It appears that it was created to favor the decision towards nuclear, in my opinion. Thank you, sir.
You heard what Omar Zamino said. So we know things happen in a particular way. So a bureaucratic response is, I know you know the APP, we are reporting on the basis of what is said, we'll do, so we're following up on those things. Yes, they are important things, they're not part of what you had agreed on the APP would be doing. And let's respond to the question, and let us complete this part of the APP. Your APP. We have our APP. We're going to debate the budget vote. So continuing with Mr. Mabuada, so you write down to me. See his job is his research. So he shows me here the financial years. So he puts them down and says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So he says, okay, my answer to your question, Chair, is yes, this is the last budget for this committee. So you know what that means. So when Parliament rises, the fifth Parliament rises, we want to know the things we started when we came here, how far have we come? Now when we write to us something like this and say, but you see, according to our format, so let's dispense of the format for today. But we want to return so that by the time we go, we debate the budget, and by the time the Parliament rises and the committee closes its work, we clearer on the what the big issues that had formed the agenda of the committee during the 5 years. Where are we with all of them? And honourable members can go home and their minds clear, and they can go into campaigning so that we can prepare for the next term of parliament. Our listening minister Khatebe here, so he said access to energy. So it will be different sources of energy, so to say. Solar water heater, this is what he said over the period, it is where we are. Electricity, this is general coverage. In urban areas, it is rural areas, in the whole of the country. So, renewable energy sources. As part of the mix, this is where we are. We launched a program, this is what it has done. And this is the extent of access, especially for communities, especially those who have no access previously. Yes. So and then it says transformation of the liquid fuel sector. One issue that we've been talking about. Okay, Honorable Davis, I know you, I'll come back to your questions. I know you're very concerned about the speed with which we increase the mix. But there are many amongst us who will be concerned with regard to the speed with which we transform that mix. So, this is one of the things that one person was talking to me the other day said, you see, if we don't do something with the renewable energy sector, in a few years we will be where we are with regard to the liquid fuel sector. I know you think that we're doing a marvelous job in transforming that sector. But you can look at it, the big five can stare in the face, so you can see what's happening there. So that part, so he raises that, and then he says refining capacity. Since when have we been talking about this? Every time we ask you, can you tell us, are you going ahead, are you not going ahead? Exactly what's happening there. So gas. So when we talk about BRICS and the summit of ministers, so thinking which one? Oh, because the host will decide who others are going to be inviting. So I was thinking about Africa, thinking about the region, and I was thinking about energy in relation to BRICS. So what are we going to be doing? And this thing is so fundamental because of our dependence, interdependence with regard to the energy sources that are in the rest of the region. So I look at Grand Inga. At the beginning of this parliamentary term, we had a long discussion on this project. Very excited. I remember one night this is the first night we were thrown out of the house when we discussed this thing. I remember this. So it's a historic event for me. So we were very excited when we asked the House to pass this. So where are we? We are told this is a game changer for Africa. Where are we? Yes. So you people, you see in this thing, you're taking our plans, master plans. This is very serious for our energy security and transformation in the continent, and in particular in SADC. So every time we talk about guests, I'm thinking, what are we doing with Mozambique? How far are we? Because we see those problems that we face in there in Mpumalanga with the future of those coal mines. So if we don't deal with this matter of gas seriously, we're going to have ghost towns there. So it is these matters, and then it says nuclear energy, and then I see they are trying to read what is he saying. So I can't hear, unfortunately don't have David, I can't hear what he says here. So next time in Terra, the thing is, is nuclear going ahead, is nuclear not going ahead? So I'm sure that will be clarified. As he said in our last meeting, state-owned entities. So amongst others, those are key things that, so when Parliament rises, we should go away knowing during this term, what will be done with all these key things. The flagship program. We're very excited. I know that, in fact, when we started here, the money sponsor had put this at over 1 million. Look at it. Look at what we're doing. 80,000. That's what you're talking about. So more than 1 million over this 5 years. What have we done? It's gone 400. Half of that not waiting, or even more. So it is this big thing that we must return to. So we can we respond to the question. You're doing your job. Let's finish the APP, respond to the questions. But I think we've got to come back to this, all these matters. It's just some of them, these. But at the time when we go to the last budget vote, when members debate, you must be able to say, we said this about Inga, this is where we're going, this is what's happening with gas, this is what is happening with liquid fuels, all of these big questions. The state of, we should have a sense, is the state of our own enterprises improving or not, in general terms? Okay. DG, respond. We will we'll come back to this. As we're discussing, we're thinking, I'm sure we'll respond to the issue that one of our members are raising about the rescheduling, what was intended to be done today and tomorrow. Okay, please respond.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you, Honorable Member, for your questions and also for your comments. And Chair, I think your guidance in terms of how some of the issues and comments have been made should be dealt with by the department with reference to the period of the parliamentary term in conference. We will make sure that we correspond appropriately to that process. Chair, on the basis of some of the questions that have been requested relating to the bureaucratic process that we have referred to, some of them are also, Chair, that we might have to deal with here because they form part of the proposed engagement that we want to have, and in particular the question by Honorable David regarding the
let's do this. For the purpose of this meeting, can you just respond to all the questions? Yeah? Some of them we'll return to them later on. But I don't want to not to respond to the questions that members pose. Let's respond to all of this.
All right. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The team will respond to some of the questions relating to specific areas that relate to their core business. The issue around clean energy cut, which has been raised by another member, is a critical area, and we have a project or a grant that deals with clean energy as part of our energy mix. a must indicator that we deal with clean energy from different areas of reference over and above the department. You will recall that you also requested us to present on our IPP program, which will also reflect how we deal with the broader and clean energy areas of renewable in terms of funding. So it's not only funding that is dependent on the department in terms of this work. You will recall even the recent government that you have made reference to that some of the funding in relation to clean energy is provided by different components, such as funding from international investors who work very closely with local interested different groupings. Also, we get funding in some instances through partnerships with international NGOs with a special interest on clean energy. We also attempt to get sponsorships to do various programs within energy, which they work with us directly, and some of them they do provide funding for us to focus on different activities. I think this is only the component, of course, that we give to the department. I can't quantify exactly how it is, but if another member would like to get the exact benefit that has been derived through other sources in terms of the clean energy that could be provided. You will also note that when we do the bidding process with IPP office, the integrity office for us, also during the bidding process, they are able to generate income, which in turn is also used to promote the clean energy within the energy sector as a whole. So that's how we are able to make sure that our target of 2025 is the commitment we have made to deal with clean energy as a big nation, to deal with emissions, in our view, can be realized. I think all that we can try to do for clarity, because our resources are not coming from the department, is to be more precise on those areas. But I'm trying to say, so the cut may not have a direct impact in achieving the vision that we have set for ourselves. We also have DBSA, which was part of the structural arrangement of the submission of the IPP, DOE at the time, which also assists in funding the clean energy space, including the running of some of our operations outside the budget of DOE as part of the joint partnership. So that's how the whole issue of clean energy is dealt with, broadly speaking, Chair, and it's been working. So we may realize that vision as well, unless certain challenges emerge along the way. We will be presenting, Chair, a program on IRP, as we have indicated in our engagement, I think in the last meeting of the committee, and we are presenting to this committee as per the date to the third on few activities that are still outstanding that we'll be dealing with within the IRP space. We are hoping that as soon as we have concluded all the activities that the cabinet requested the department to focus on, will be in a better position to present the final content for the finalization of this process. And we'll definitely update the committee accordingly. But as requested, we will be finding time and space for the presentation to the committee on this process towards its conclusion. Chair, the area around the vacant post, maybe the former acting DG can talk to that in a much more deeper perspective. But we have been having a challenge from last year to this year of a cut in the personnel space for the department, and as a result, we have not been able to fill some of our vacancies due to the cut. But also, Chair, we have been trying to focus on finalizing, in particular, the DCG level that Honorable Dennis has made reference to. We have started the process. We advertised, we received applications, and the shortlisting process is going to be dealt with once the panel has been established through our honorable minister. We should be looking into this process required by the cabinet. But at the administration level, we have focused on ensuring that this particular area is dealt with. And honorable David has indicated it does have a negative impact operationally to deal with that. How we're managing it for now is to make sure that it is delivered for every weekend post where the responsible acting senior manager to deal with all activities that are within that particular area. But we are expediting, Chair. I'm very positive that within a short period of time we would have concluded on filling the vacancies of the DDG level, which would then culminate in prioritizing what we regard as key vacant posts within those branches below DDGs. Our approach was deal with the DDGs and let the DDGs appoint them form part of all other existing physical vacancies across the branches of the department. We have concluded the advertising process. We now have to deal with the shortlisting and then the appointment and fill those vacancies as a matter of high priority. Doing all of it will kill the constraints that we have on our federal budget, which has been decreased. The area of coordination of activities, to coordinate the activities of nuclear, it remains part of the energy base. As you will know, that we have a nuclear branch, and there are specific activities, the coordination of activities. Maybe more specific, not about implementing a nuclear program, is the coordination of activities. There were issues that were raised, as was indicated before by the court, which needed the department to coordinate and accordingly comply with certain issues relating to at home and beyond. So it's about coordinating those activities. It's not about implementing our nuclear program. Coordinate activities to determine the way forward and to put a program and for the nuclear branch to be able to make sure that it provides the guidance on that. And those activities, therefore, need to be coordinated appropriately and also to look into the issues that were specifically raised by the court for the department to be able to deal with those things efficiently and accordingly report to the committee on those activities and how going forward are we dealing with this problem. But also, Chair, as you know, that we do have areas that deal with the nuclear activities within our country, which as a department has a responsibility to play oversight within the Telecom, such as UPEC, such as NEXA, and some of the areas that have been made. So those activities that require some coordination. There are a number of compliance issues that DOE as a policy department is also expected to comply with in handling matters of nuclear, including nuclear medicine and so on and so on. And those activities, for them to be coordinated, they require some funds. But insofar as the new bill, it's not about implementation, it's about coordinating activities as per the guidance and the directive of the court of handling those issues together with ELCOM. I think on my part, Chair, those are the issues I can relate to, and I will ask my team to give you some of the specific issues that are related to the presentation itself for clarity purposes. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, thank you, CJ. Good morning, honorable members. That is the one area that I thought requires clarity because maybe the way it is presented is an indication that, they just one budget for nuclear, And I thought it's important that you clarify that. There is a budget indicated of 816 million for nuclear. But the bulk of that is transfers. These are transfers that are going to sustain entities that are operational. So you have 816, out of that, close to 700 go to NEXA, which is responsible for nuclear R&D in the country, but also then to look at the PAS facilities. About 20 million of that, 16 million, go to the National Nuclear Regulator from the same 816 million. And then 45 million go to NRADI, which is supposed to look after our radioactive waste. So the department then is left with about 72 odd million for coordinating all nuclear activities in the country. So I think there is no overemphasis on one part of the energy mix. I think it has the way that we presented it, that it does not come out like that. So the bulk of it is like the electrification and the bulk of that budget gets transferred. The issue on the NMR amendment, I mean, the focus there is that this act is an act of 1999, and in the implementation by the regulator, there have been some areas that have been identified that need to be strengthened. Amongst them are the learnings from the Fukushima incident. They then need to be reflected in an amended piece of legislation, because there were learnings, and internationally there was a decision that regulators responsible for safety must then be strengthened, and then they, I think that's the main purpose, but also then to include as part of their mandate the issues of oversight over nuclear facilities and so on. So there are quite a number of areas that the NNR in the implementation has identified, and they have then also made their own recommendations as to areas that where the legislation is not very clear. For example, regulating development around nuclear installation. Then I think the issue on EGS touched on the issue of the vacancy, but I thought it's important to respond to the issue of the unfunded post. The unfunded post means that there is no one on that post. So we don't have a warm body, but we also don't have a budget. Because if we were to employ someone in an unfunded post, then effectively we are violating the rules, because then it becomes an expenditure that is not authorized by Parliament. And I think that effectively is where we are. And we have been operating below the complement that is required to sustain the mandate, the energy sector mandate. And I think that is a matter that I believe would need attention going forward. But we are cognizant of the fiscal challenges that the country is experiencing. The reduction in the solar water heater budget, I think what happened there is that the program was not moving as fast as expectations, and the National Treasury then decided to reprioritize the budget to other programs. And of course, this is also to give the department time to ensure that the systems that have been manufactured can then be installed, because, you know, we have a challenge now of installing the systems that have been manufactured. What are the challenges there? In my view, there are twofold. The first one is that to install, we have to have municipalities basically passing resolutions that they would want to partner with us in solar water heater program. So there was a delay in those resolutions coming from the side of the municipalities in the beginning. But also, I think there has to be an understanding that municipalities derive revenue from electricity sales. If you move people to solar water heaters en masse, then, you know, you're depriving some of those municipalities of those electricity sales. So I think the motivation for everyone to move with speed on solar, in my view, is not there. But also we have to acknowledge the fact that on our part as well, in terms of program management, you know, we could have done better in managing this, because when we realized that municipalities were not coming back, we could have taken steps to then escalate the matter to the appropriate level. But also, again, it's the issue of personnel, because we had one person effectively managing this program due to the also the vacancy rate that we had. The big issue that we raised, perhaps the one issue that I thought also we need to maybe just reflect on is the issue of the Grand Inga. I know that it is one of those big issues that will be dealt with. But the reality is that our partners do also have challenges in their country. And our main partners in the Grand Inga project is the DRC. And I think it is not an understatement to say that there are challenges within, you know, internally within the country. And I think we can only move as fast as our partners can also move. But I think there will be more clarification on that. Thank you.
Okay, I found the question. I hear you want us to come back to that. And there's got to be diplomatic decorum with regard to how we discuss this matter. But it must also be clear exactly what is happening. You see, with regard to Grand Inga and the DRC, and guests in Mozambique, they are conflicting information about exactly what's going on. Others say South Africa has been too slow. You say it's them that have challenges. So I think we need to have a more open conversation with regard to that. And I would imagine, especially with the DRC, the challenges they face there. But earlier on, there were issues with regard to where we did we play our part as the process started. So let's come back to talk about it. Therefore, quiet.
The question that has been attending to is the budget reduction from of 1.1 billion. The reduction of 1.1 billion is the allocation between the 2017-18 financial year and the 18-19 financial year, and the reason for that it was done by Treasury due to priority demand across government, across all government departments, due to priority demands on the fiscal. So all departments were cut across, so we had no option or choice. And then the second one, it is on consultancy on program 5. Why the consultancy has spiked to 21 million. In 2016-17, NNR had budget pressure, which necessitated the department to reprioritize and give funding to NNR. And the understanding with Treasury at that time was that NNR would then reflect them the funding in 2018-19, because we had a multi-year commitment that would have needed the money. So that was the argument that the money should be brought back in 2018-19. As such, even Treasury reduced the allocation of NNR over the MTEF and increased the allocation of the department so as to honor our obligation that we had, we were committed on. I think I've covered all the finances.
Do you want to say something, did you? Oh, no, no, okay. You are not, right? So we can close now. Did you?
Now go to.
When can you come back to us to discuss your business matters? Unfortunately, I don't know how I'm going to manage our time. The committee meets next week, so it has been helpful to do that next week because we have the time. The problem I have is whether we'll be able to come here and give us the information we require if we get you here next week. So tell us, if we work backward from the 16th of May and take into account the fact that the minister has got to be here, so when can we deal with this outstanding matter? The bottom line is, we want to have this discussion for the budget vote on the 16th of May. If we can answer that question successfully, I'll close the meeting. I didn't hear that.
Allow us to engage. I wouldn't like to commit the minister there for consultation.
I hear you.
I would definitely.
But you hear what I'm saying.
I hear.
When we finish this meeting, you've got to get back to the honorable member to give them an indication when we can do this, because we're supposed to do it this week.
Shall I make it more possible to get back to you before the end of this week and be provided?
Honorable Davis, you have a follow-up?
Hello? Okay. Thank you, Chair. I've just got a few follow-ups, if you don't mind, because, you know, when we go to the budget vote, it's going to be a debate in Parliament, And I think we all need to be armed with the facts. And we've obviously done our reading, but we need to make sure we have absolute clarity so we don't say things which aren't correct, because that's not going to help anybody. Yeah, we spoke. You gave me quite a comprehensive answer on clean energy, and you explained that the budget is only 5%. Only 5% of the total budget goes to clean energy, but there's also a lot of money that comes from outside through sponsorships, through public-private partnerships, and through other means. But you say you're not in a position to give me those figures now. I must say that strikes me as very strange. We have all the senior leadership of the department here, and you're not able to tell me how much money you get from outside sources to the clean energy program, which you've already identified as a flagship program. I would actually expect you to know that. I know you have a vacancy in the clean energy directorate, but I still would expect you to be able to give me a ballpark figure of how much money you're getting from outside sources, especially because the budget has been cut in half in this financial year, from 742 to 370. So are you telling me that in this financial year coming up, that you've managed to offset that cut by getting all of that money from outside sources? So in other words, budget neutral, because you've managed to raise so much money from sponsorships and partnerships that now you no longer need to allocate so much money to the program. Are you saying that to me? Because we're not getting clarity here. You must either tell me how much money you're getting from outside sources, or you must give me at least an assurance that that money has been offset. In other words, the budget cut has been offset by the money that you're getting from outside sources. I think that's really important. On the IRP, I understand that your hands are tied because the minister's not here. But you have told us that you need to conclude a number of activities, as you said, before the new IRP goes to the cabinet. Can you just briefly tell us what those activities are? In other words, what steps do you need to take before it goes to the cabinet? So just be very specific about those activities. And also, can you give us a timeline on this? When do you expect it to go to cabinet? Just so that we can get a broad sense. Because we really do need to start nailing down the specifics. On the vacant post, you say there's a cut in personnel and you can't fill the vacancies because of the personnel cut. So that doesn't explain why the staff budget is increased by 28 million. If there's a cut in personnel and those vacancies are essentially frozen, why is the staff budget increasing by so much, especially when the overall budget of the department is decreased by so much? So it doesn't explain that ballooning of the staff wage bill. Then on nuclear, I must be honest, I think your answer was a little bit disingenuous. I don't think you represented what I said at all. Because you say that nuclear remains part of the energy space, but that doesn't refer to a nuclear program. Now, we understand that. We know that there's Kuberg, and we know that there's nuclear research, and we all understand that there's nuclear. But if you look at Vote 26, which is a document produced by Treasury, it actually says that one of the objectives, and I'm going to quote it again, I did quote it earlier, but I'm going to quote it again. It says, by coordinating all activities of the new nuclear build program. It doesn't say coordinating all nuclear activities. It says coordinating all activities of the new nuclear build program. It's very specific about the new program. So my question to you is, why, and this is my original question, which is an answer, why is this an objective of the department if there is no nuclear build program? Why is it in the budget vote? If there's no nuclear build program, why do you need to coordinate all the activities of that new nuclear build program? That's what I need to answer. That's what you need to tell me. Okay. Or is there something you're not telling us? Is there a new nuclear build program that just isn't here? Have they given away something? Is it a Freudian slip in vote 26? So we need clarity on this. You have to understand. We're here to get answers from you on behalf of the South African public. And the South African public has no idea what is happening with the new nuclear build program. People are very confused, and we need finality. So you'll forgive me for sounding like a stuck record, but we need answers because it's been very, very confusing. Nearly there, Chair.
Just okay. Lastly, on the solar water heater budget. So we've gone from, I think, 394 million to zero. And your explanation for that is that we've manufactured all of these heaters, and now we have to focus on installation. Now, I want to know why you can't manufacture and install at the same time. I mean, surely you can chew gum and walk. Was the program always envisaged that you would have a manufacturing period and then an installation period? Or can you not manufacture and install at the same time? I don't understand that logic. There should be no problem with installing the ones that have been manufactured and then also manufacturing for the next phase. And surely you should have planned for that. So I don't quite understand that argument at all. Then I think, I'm not sure if I heard you correctly, but you must just give me... just let me know if I misheard you correctly. But I think I heard you say that only one person is managing the solar water heater project.
Mm.
Is that correct?
Mm.
If that is correct, how does one person have the job of managing a 400 million rand budget?
Mm.
Because that's how much it was, 394 million. Are you telling me that that's the job of one person? Now, it seems to me that if that is true, and you're not disagreeing with me, that you're not really committed to the solar water heater project at all if you only have one person devoted to managing it. But can you explain to us why only one person is managing a 400 million rand project? And of course the project's going to fail because you're not taking it seriously. Then just on the nuclear program consultant. If I understand the argument correctly, the reason why you've doubled the budget on consultants is because there was a reduction last year, because there was budgetary constraints at the regulator. Is that correct? So this is just so now we've gone back to normality. But you know, that doesn't explain why the department has spent 205 million rand on consultants on nuclear in the last 4 years. 205 million rand for a new nuclear build program that doesn't seem to exist. Although it does mention the new nuclear build program in the vote. What are these consultants doing? Can you give us a breakdown of what these consultants do? Are you getting return on investment for the 205 million rand that you're spending on these nuclear consultants? Thank you.
You don't want me to close the meeting. Okay, you can speak. The last one is another Mabuni. David, let me not comment before the answer. Because we'll say that I don't like your question. When I'm trying to help you. On our SAV?
Thank you, Chair. How does the staff remuneration and staffing level per unit of energy delivered compare with the metrics of other comparable benchmark facilities? How can they you can check on that. And then on the annual performance plan, you say we will make sure that the strategic partnership is on ground index. Yield the desired results of security. I don't know how you can even make a statement that like that ground. The whole India project, not only is Grand India free, that we paid 150 million rand for, it's absolutely stillborn. There will never anything come from that. Never will anything come from that. The rebels run the whole India the project there. And how does this board pay that, taxpayers' money over for that? Without even consideration that it's over the most hostile countries, power lines, grid must be done. This was 150 million was just the start. The society has absolutely been death born, nothing will ever come. And still you say, we will make sure, yield the desire of the result, the security of supply. It's absolutely ridiculous.
I wanted to say something else. Switch it on or now, Magunda. And propose that we close.
Yeah, okay. I'll use my steward voice. Thanks for the time.
You're not on record, Omagunda. Switch it on.
At what point, are we going to say now we want to move out from Gandhinga? Because I don't think it would be it would be wise for us, you know. We have been telling lies sometimes to the public. Maybe we are misleading the public to say, out of excitement there is a Gandhinga and so on. And we keep on talking about it in the program when we know very well that we are not in control of the program. We only pray for mercy. You know, that our partner, Congo, have the political stability. So I don't think we have to start in the crisis of other countries, putting up the problem time and again in our document. So I think we have to reach a point where we say, no, let us forget about this and see some other issues with regard to energy. Thank you.
Honorable Carter said she's covered. I wonder what is Honorable Muhammad Shala doing to you on the
You can confirm it.
Okay, can we have responses to the follow-up questions? And answer all the questions fully. I don't find a link between what was between some questions and what we want to do next time. Especially so far as they will give us clarity as we prepare for the debate. So but we can do the rest of that in our follow-up session. But for the purpose of today's agenda, answer the questions and let me close the meeting after that. Some of these I'm quite sure will return to that when we're in the follow-up session.
Thank you, Chair. Regarding the ballpark figures indicated by Honorable Davis, I thought he was talking generally about meeting our 2025 vision. It doesn't look like I understood it broadly. So it looks like the 5% is referring to is specific to the budget allocation. But if you make a reference to 2025 vision, department is not doing the work we're doing only within the department. We also work with other partners. So if I've understood that your reference is with regard to 2025 vision that we have set for ourselves, it's not only the department that is playing a meaningful role with the owner, but the department does have its own program within the department. And the budget that we make reference to regarding solar water heaters is one budget that has been removed for this financial year. But over and above that, to achieve 2025 vision, we do a number of projects and have made specific reference to the fact that the independent power producer office that we have entered into with a memorandum of understanding perform some of the activities that relate to clean energy is part of the program to achieve our 2025 vision. So, but if your question is specific to the department, I'll ask the board deal with that problem. So I wouldn't have been in a position to give a ballpark figure that talks to the overall 2025 vision that you do. I'm meeting the IPP office tomorrow to discuss various projects they do on behalf of department and other entities, so I can try to be more precise in relation to the overall question that you with regard, Chair, to the IRP process, some of the activities that you are relating to are activities that are outside the department's control, especially the consultative process. So our engagements are dependent on other stakeholders which we have no control over their availability. So I cannot, therefore, be in a position to give timeline that by this time definitely will show that concluded until those activities are concluded. I will be then disingenuous if I were to do that now, prior to make sure that the consultative agenda that the department is focusing on as directed by cabinet is concluded. And only then that I can be specific with the timeline that is requesting. Otherwise, tomorrow I'll be referred to having then the parliament. On the issue of nuclear, I would have preferred to, because you have put this item as a standalone item. I can see that now with David. One of the answers that I thought when we present to this committee as a standalone item will be able to give history, because your question relates to the historical background of the nuclear B process. So when I made reference to the activities of the nuclear B process as activities, and I made the point that the court has also made certain determinations in progress, the program at some stage was with the department, the national treasurer with the department budgeted for the program, at some stage the program was with ESCOM having done some activities, and those activities implemented some way, then reviewed by the court process, and the court made some determinations. So we need to continue with activity. So those are the issues I was referring to. So also outside that, there are other activities that DDC Mankulela has made reference to, which are also part of our compliance responsibilities. They were being part of the nuclear signatory internationally because of other activities in the country that are of nuclear nature. But when we speak about nuclear field program, we speak about activities that have already been surrounding this particular program as a nuclear field program. And some determinations have been made, court processes have occurred, ESCOM at some point was involved and so on. So I'm referring specifically to those activities, and they have not been concluded. Some of the processes that were determined by the court for us to engage in have not been concluded. Some of the engagements which we have to do with ESCOM, which at some stage took over the program from the department, the same program we're making reference to, have not been concluded. I'm referring to those activities within nuclear B. So if my contacts could not go through, Chair, maybe I misunderstood the question, but I'm referring to those activities that have happened historically, and when we present, Chair, because this matter is an item that you have at your disposal. When we present, maybe we can then, for the benefit of the members that are probably not been part of the historical development around this program, we can go as far back as possible to provide a historical perspective on the program and all activities that have transpired around the program and up to a point where it went to court and where we are and where do we think we'll be going with the program as guided by the let's trust of what I thought when we present fully on the program itself, we will be able to reflect. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Makuba, do you want to say something? Why I'm very eager to close the meeting. Honorable David, your questions will be attended to. Okay, let me ask this question. Has anybody written down all the questions posed by Honorable David? So when he tells you when next to come for the discussion and in preparation for the budget vote, bring those answers. I understand the essence of your question, so, and the relationship with the budget vote and the period in which you are, that is the entire parliamentary period. So I'm sure it will be in his speech about what you do and what the implications of what you say now with regard to achieving cleaner energy and the things you do with regard to. It's better that you prepare properly, give him comprehensive and correct information with regard to that, because I'd like to hear David debate that and whether you're making progress that we expect of you or not. So I don't want shortcut answers now. Honorable, as David, can we ask them to come back to talk about Inga? You gave me a fright when you're talking about rebels. Can they come back to talk about the progress with regard to Grand Inga? And then they can talk about the nuclear program. I understood that because of the APP that the new bill is on the table. So there's no question that it's no longer there. It is on our basis. We all know that. The question we're asking, so that's why it will be referred to, that's why it's been funded. It is a government policy that said that we're going to pursue this. They were implementing it. And then the other things happened, the court. The reason you're raising this is because of what the President of the Republic said. Now, if that is the context, please, can you allow the minister, the responsible minister who has been appointed by president, to say what is his understanding of the future of this thing? Leave this official. He'll come here, we'll ask him, is this thing going ahead or not? And then you can ask him the question, do you agree with the president or not? Leave the official so that the president can fire him. Leave this official. Ask him that question. He'll come here. We also want clarity, so we need to be, the public wants clarity. So let's not take shortcuts. Let's wait for him to come here. I'm sure he's been briefed. By the time he gets here, he'll have consulted with the officials, he'll consulted whoever he needs to consult. He'll be clear as to where are we going. And then he'll give us a government position on the matter. So let's leave the poor officials, because now they're going to be been doctoring here for us, so we don't want that. No. You see now, if you speak, Honorable Estesen is going to raise his hand.
Yeah.
You know that. And he has his hand up on this. No, Honorable Estesen, can we please close now? I know you still have time.
Can we give them, while they're coming back, just one little bit more homework? I'm
going to
ask them one more question.
No. Honorable, you are abusing your position as an elder now.
Yeah.
So, Honorable Mabunda says he'll discuss that matter with you outside.
Yeah.
Honorable Davis, oh please. No, please. One thing I will not do is not allow you to ask questions. You will follow up when you have these discussions. You see, let me close. You want to close your meeting. If you want to close a meeting, you must convene your meeting and then close it. Don't want to close my meeting. I'm closing the meeting now. Okay. You can therefore comment on our business. I gave you a opportunity to ask for long questions. I know they haven't responded to you. I still want them to respond to follow-up questions. I don't want to fight with you when you go into the budget debate. I know you still come there and say, you disagree with this budget. So can we close now? And I'm told you can have lunch upstairs. Is it upstairs? Okay. DG said this week he's going to give us a report. Remember that by Thursday we've got to tell members what's happening next week. We will have a discussion with them, the consultation after that, and then we'll let members know when again I will continue. So let's close the meeting and enjoy your lunch. I think you did speculate it.